If you are interested in starting your own podcast, we use Buzzsprout because it is simple and easy to use. Buzzsprout can get your show listed on every major platform while giving you the resources for a great podcast website, audio players that can drop into other websites, detailed analytics to see how people are listening to your podcast, and tools to promote your episodes. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and that is why over 100,000 podcasters are already subscribed to Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Following the link in our episode descriptions lets Buzzsprout know that we sent you. So in return, you will receive a $20 Amazon gift card from Buzzsprout while signing up for a paid plan. Most importantly, every subscription through our link is always appreciated and helps support our show so we can continue delivering the quality content that you guys listen to. That being said, back to the show.
Hello and welcome into Comic Book Junkies. I'm Andrew.
This is Joe.
And we're coming at you with the CBJ year in review for 2022. That's right, a little rhyme for you. But, you know, if you've stuck with us before or you've been with us before, we do a year-end review. We kind of talk about, you know, we reflect on CBJ this past year, how much fun we had with recording the episodes, which ones we liked the best, poll books that we really liked, comic book movies, you know, general nerd media that we enjoyed this year. We'll obviously talk about pickups of keys and stuff like that, since, you know, we like that, and a little bit more, you know, we'll just kind of wade our way through it and talk about what we liked this year. So where do you want to start, Joe? We have a whole bunch of topics that we could really dive into. I'll let you pick the first one.
Perfect. Well, I guess let's start off with maybe favorite books we've gotten this year.
Sure. We're talking key-wise?
Yeah, or just favorite in general. Yeah, but they're keys. My list is keys. Yeah. So I guess since I initiated the topic, I'll start. No particular order, but I did come up with my top five favorite books this year. And the first one I want to mention is Batman Beyond Issue 1, the first appearance of Terry McGinnis. This was like the number one book on my want list in 2022, and Berger came through and got this for me for Christmas in July. This year, I took the time to rewatch the whole animated series, so I can't imagine doing a top five list and this not being on it. So I just want to say thank you, Berger.
Oh, anytime, dog. I just got a lot of books this year, so I made a separate list for comic gifts to give a shout out to when we get around to my books. But the Iron Fist 14 that you got me is on there. It's just, I really bought a lot of books this year to condense it to five. So I put, you know, your Iron Fist 14 and then the DC Comics Presents 26 and New Teen Titans 1 that I got from Jazz, my fiance, as, you know, kind of like shout outs for my comic gifts in addition to my other five. And there was a ton of books I had to keep off. But let's keep going through your list. I'm glad that you like the Batman Beyond 1. I'm actually surprised that it's up there, I guess. But you've been really feeling the animated stuff this year. And
I actually watched Superman the Animated Series, Justice League, Justice League Unlimited. So I've been kind of going through all of it. And I do got to say that Batman Beyond is probably my favorite so far. I think Batman the Animated Series might be my next one to tackle. But back to the list, Marvel Spotlight 2, first appearance and origin of Werewolf by Night. I got this just in time because the movie was so awesome. I don't know what that really did to the book. I haven't been paying attention to like market value, but I definitely recommend listening to that episode if you haven't had a chance to watch the Disney special yourself. I always regretted selling the first copy of the book that I bought. And I guess this is just a sign that it was meant to be in my collection because it all worked out in the end. I have a nicer copy than the original copy I bought, and I'm glad to have that one back. Do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, dude, let's just roll through your list.
Yeah. Okay, so another one's going to be Green Lantern 59, first appearance of Guy Gardner. Possibly bought this one prematurely because I was so pumped about the actor and the character being the focal point of the HBO Green Lantern show. The show is now changed to feature Jon Stewart after the announcement of the new CEOs, and that's still cool. But regardless, it deserves to be on my list because regardless of spec or the timing of the purchase, it doesn't change how I feel about this book because I love the character, I love the Green Lanterns, and it's still a PC book. Moving to number two, I got Submariner issue one, first issue to an ongoing series, his ongoing series, big premiere issue from Marvel, and the closest
thing I will probably get to the first Silver Age appearance of the character, at least for a long time. So it was important for me to get this book this year. If you listen to our last pod, I have big hopes for the character. I do think it's a potential A-list character, and bought this in a high enough grade so that it would make my top five list. Last book that I want to mention before we go over to your books is Green Lantern issue 7, First Appearance and Origin of Sinestro. This was my big con book of the year, which is usually my biggest book of the year in general, so I feel comfortable locking it in as my number one book. That, and I've been on a huge Green Lantern kick this year, so there's also that. Didn't make the list, but I also got like first Star Sapphire this year, first Hector Hammond, first Atrocitus, so big into the Green Lantern stuff, and what better than the best Green Lantern villain?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be pretty happy if I were you. You got some killer pickups, and the thing is, too, is that you're always getting them in nicer grade than usually when I pick up stuff, so it's like, you're really getting bang for buck and, like, making a real investment when you get a good book, especially all the ones that you've listed are all popping off already or bound to pop off eventually. So I think you did pretty good. Those are all cool, obviously, key books, and they're kind of core to kind of the vibe of stuff that you like to collect, so I think you did an awesome job this year. My pickups, so I mean, it's not a flex. I just really went kind of ham this year on buying books. So there's a lot of good books I'm leaving off the list, and just kind of off the top of the head, kind of going through, I guess, things that are I didn't expect to get this year, at least. I'll start off in no particular order. Amazing Spider-Man 9. It was the first book I got in 2022, so I figured it deserved a shout out because it was also one of the books I've spent the most money on in total, and that kind of came out of the blue. I did have, like, you know, eBay gift cards and stuff like that to kind of help drive down the cost, but that was a book that I needed because I'm trying to round out the top 10 Spider-Man books. For those who don't know, I currently have 3 through 10. I don't know about getting 2 and 1 anytime soon, but you know, getting 9 was a big one since it was the last remaining big key that I needed from the top 10 that isn't issue 1 or 2. Moving past that, the next few are honestly all Golden Age books, just because these are something I've had my eyes on for a while. They don't really come up on auction for those of you who are hip to the Golden Age, and especially not at the prices I was able to secure them for. So WoW Comics issue 18, it's the first appearance of Uncle Marvel. You know, he's basically a supporting character to Mary Marvel, first and foremost, but he is also part of the Marvel family. He's just a goofy dude. He's not even anyone's real uncle. He doesn't have any superpowers, even though he'll wear a Shazam costume. But he's, you know, he's just part of the squad, and it's just cool to get a supporting character key from the 40s. Moving past that, I have Captain Marvel Adventures 8, first appearance of Ibok. He's one of the earlier villains I read getting into Shazam. He also is, you know, kind of like a Black Adam, Sabacc, any one of those, where he draws his power from bad people, you know, like Ivan the Terrible. Oh. And, you know, he's basically a criminal stinky print whistle. So he's kind of like a twerp of a criminal. But then when he says Ibok, he turns into like a buff strong man from, like, you know, like the 40s, obviously, like the old school wrestler type dude. So it was cool to get one of those just because you don't really see early Captain Marvel adventures on auction or for purchase, really, especially that issue ever since he started getting films. Past that, I've got Wiz Comics 22. It's one of my all-time favorite comic book covers. Joe knows I have a shitty MacBook, and I've had it for like a decade now, and that's been the background for many years. So I've always been staring it down, and it's one of the only issue, I think it is the only issue that CC Beck got to write on top of drawing, because he drew like a ton of them, co-created the character and everything, but they let him write it. And it's just paired with an iconic cover of Captain Marvel and Billy standing next to each other, and it's just iconic. So to get one, I was more than pumped, especially for the shape it is. And then my last book, it's not like the best book. It's a weird book because it's not a comic book. My Weekly Shonen Jump issue 1 from 1987. For those of you who've listened before, I don't really dabble in anime very much, or manga for that matter, but I do like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And this one, I mean, if you've ever tried to buy them, which I doubt a lot of you really have because I didn't plan on it for the longest time, but they're kind of hard to come by to get an authentic one, especially since they did reprints recently. And the only way you can tell the difference between a reprint and the first print is what ads are included, because the reprints do include all of the original ads, but some of them are kind of like grayed out. So it kind of looks like a puzzle almost, like of missing ads. So that's the only way you can tell. And then, I mean, just the language barrier and trying to find a Japanese seller who isn't, you know, selling a reprint or sharing pictures with other sellers, because there's a ton of that. So it's a pain in the ass to get your hands on one, and they're not cheap. So it's just cool to have one of those just kind of to diversify the portfolio. It's a little weird in a way because it doesn't belong in a bag and board, but I slipped it in one anyways. And yeah, I mean, it sits in the Golden Age box with the rest of all my Wiz books and stuff like that. But, you know, it's kind of like a talking piece of the collection for those who are semi-interested. And we'll see how it goes as an investment. I don't think I'm going to be buying many more of them, obviously, but I still think it's cool.
Those are all cornerstones to stuff that you enjoy. Sounds like we both got a lot of big books this year.
Yeah.
Both have a very solid top five. Year's not over, but I'm sure we're both pretty happy with what we pulled.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's damn near over for me, brother.
I don't know what it is, but I wanted to mention that as many of these big books as we've gotten, I've been a tear with minor keys lately.
Big fan.
Feels like the fun just doesn't stop. I don't know if it's just because your dollar stretches further, or, you know, it could be because COVID and how isolated everybody was for a while, but just the joy that it brings me to be in a store and digging through bins for like hours has brought me so much joy lately that I'm grateful.
It's all about auditing the bins. I think we're going to do that pretty soon here too again. as of the time of this recording. But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, like you said, the year's not over. We still have bins to go audit at all the comic shops. And I've got another one that we need to check out, actually. I just found out that a new store opened up not that far from me. Well, relatively. So I'll keep that between us and we'll have to go check it out one day. Don't know what they got, but there's plenty of bins to be dug in. And I'm excited. I think I am mostly tapped out for the year, though. I do have my eye on one more relatively minor key, but I'm probably not getting it this year unless a bin has it somewhere. But that's a lot of key talk because you filled up a lot of boxes of minor keys, especially this year. You're going ham. But let's talk about filling other boxes. So obviously, you know that we do read a poll. We have a poll list. There's not a ton of books on our list, I would say. You know, as of late, it's cyclical. You know, it's kind of like the economy. You know, it's good times and bad times. Good books, bad books. I don't know if we're missing out on slept on good books, but I can't seem to sniff them out the way I used to. But you want to kind of talk about what we've been up to, like what we've been reading, what we've been enjoying. I have a feeling that a lot of our list is the same. So is it fair to say that we would say that the best pull book that we're both reading is World's Finest?
Yeah, that would be mine. So
I knew it was.
Top pull book of 2022, Batman, Superman, World's Finest. Not sure if it's because it's reminiscent of the Silver Age of comics, of characters, the tone of the book.
Yep.
But it's consistent issue to issue and is always a joy to read. And it's the title that I look forward to most when picking up my pull. It very much reminds me of Superman and the Robin series that we've read recently. I think the thing they all have in common is the same writer, but that is by far my favorite pull list book of 2022. I do want to give a shout out to a book that wasn't on my pull this year, but The Death of Superman 30th Anniversary One Shot. That was a really good read for one shot. And if anybody listening was debating on reading it or picking up at your local comic book store, I would if it's still cover.
Word. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to pick one up, but I think next time I go to the shop, I might end up grabbing one if I could find one. I do want to say, too, though, that Robin was a fantastic book. It did end this year, but that was at the top of my list, even above World's Finest, for as long as it was coming out for the most part. And then kind of like special mentions is that I am also still reading Moon Knight and stuff like that, which while isn't always at the like, it isn't like peak comics in 2022, but it is, I would say, a cut above the rest as far as I'm concerned. I enjoy reading this run on Moon Knight, but, you know, I still think there are better books. But similar to you, this is my first time kind of dabbling because, you know, I don't really like reprints or facsimiles or any second prints or nothing like that. But as a Golden Age comic fan, as you have just heard, I did grab a Marvel Family issue one facsimile this year, which usually I don't grab stuff like that. And it was cool to flip through those. Those were actually done pretty well. Even the paper quality felt different and it felt kind of reminiscent of an older book. It was like $4.99 or something like that, recounting the first appearance of Black Adam. Corporate synergy, got to drop that around movie drop, but it was sweet. So, you know, I mean, if you guys are interested in classic books but don't feel like reading it on a tablet or buying a whole pull or, God forbid, flipping open a back issue, the facsimiles are honestly pretty cool if you want to read some classic stories or first appearances, especially if you're kind of trying to wet the beak and you're not even a big comic fan as it is. That'd be a good place to start. So I wanted to say those are cool too, but I don't know if I'm going to be picking up a ton more of them since so much is online nowadays or I'm already familiar, but it was kind of fun to flip through like an old book like that since they're not really in print.
Yeah, and stuff like that too is then kind of more interesting just because I feel this wasn't a very good year for pull books.
Yeah, I mean, there will be people who disagree with that and say that we just don't know what we're talking about. But I mean, as far as our tastes go, I'm with you.
Yeah, but I do have a lot of things I am looking forward to for 2023 as far as picking up.
Yeah,
I believe they're doing like a Green Arrow series and another Superman series that both look good. So yeah, we'll see what comes out moving forward. But that being said, I don't know if you have any other current books you want to talk about, but I did want to get into some of my favorite episodes that you and I recorded this year.
Sure. Yeah, let's go to it.
Yeah. Well, I picked three just so it wasn't too extensive. And again, in no particular order, but Batman the Long Halloween was one of my favorite episodes that we recorded this year. There's actually a lot of episodes that I enjoyed recording more per se, but this has to be in my top three just because it was probably my favorite book that we reviewed this year for the pod. Not sure if it's because that was my first time actually reading it, but I would even be as bold as saying as I enjoyed it more than year one, and that's no shade to year one either. We read both of those this year, actually, recorded episodes on both, given I read them so proximate to each other that I feel comfortable locking that in. Should I keep going or do you want to?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Another one of my top three was the Batman movie. So another Batman submission. That was our best movie review, in my opinion, probably because you and I were further apart than we usually are, which I felt gave that episode some gas. Although Werewolf by Night was like my favorite thing that we watched this year, at least it was my favorite thing I watched this year as far as comic book stuff goes, the Batman still made for a better and more entertaining episode of Comic Book Junkies.
Yeah, I don't think the podcast needs any more gas, though, you know what I'm saying? But, but yeah, that was
I'm not taking my foot off the gas. And that will take me to number one, which was Interview with the Comic Book Junkie 2 featuring Ted. I thought that one was a lot of fun. Love having guests. It felt very natural, just like the Juan episodes, and it brought something different to our show. I felt like the three of us just had a lot of fun. Ted's a funny guy, and I would love to do another one of these again and maybe even get the four of us together if our fans want to meet us on Spec Corner.
Damn straight. And yeah, I'm, you know, I'm not that far off from you as far as favorite episodes we've done this year. The two that I had listed for myself were the End of Summer Special featuring Juan and the Interview with a Comic Junkie 2 featuring Ted. So I mean, it seems clear that I like doing guest episodes, and we're gonna work on getting better at that and getting more in the future, I'm sure. It just depends on how the schedules shake out, you know. But I do have a lot of fun doing those, and I think that, I don't want to speak for you guys listening, but I think that you guys enjoy them too, since it's a little more off the cuff and we're kind of a bit goofier than even usual. So I think it also, it just helps bring in different perspectives, so it's just not the two of us the whole time, you know, so we can get a little bit of differing opinion in there, and diversity is good. But as far as books, book reviews we've done and stuff like that, you know, I didn't even think about it, but, you know, probably my favorite book review we've done, or at least book that we've read for this year, which we've done less than in years past. Can't help that either. But Flash Rebirth was one of the ones that I did have a good time with, just as like a Flash truther. You know, it was good to see the reintroduction of Barry Allen into the modern age, really, after being dead since Crisis. And then it just being like a good, it felt, you know, it wasn't Silver Agey, but it just, it had a good tone for the character. And I understand why people love the story so much, even for it being a more modern story. It's a really good Flash story. And, you know, I'm looking forward to reading more books for the pod in the future. But I did want to let you know, since those are our favorites, we didn't take a poll or anything on this, but we're going to go based off of popularity and downloads. I have our top three fan favorite episodes determined by those statistics for the year. Number one was actually the Batman movie review. So actually, it seems like you guys were fucking with it just as much as we were with the Batman movie review, which is crazy. That was honestly our best performing one of the year. And usually the movie reviews, I will just say, aren't doing numbies like that. So that's number one. Number two, Peacemaker. So we did a little review on what we thought of the Peacemaker season one TV show. I love that show, dude. Looking forward to a season two, assuming that shakes out the way it should. I think those were pretty recorded pretty close together, too. They might have even been back to back, if I recall correctly. But another, you know, media review that did pretty well.
It's when our show was peaking.
Yeah, it was. We're already on the downslope. But the third one was a book review, Final Crisis. So it seems like you guys are really interested in that. If you're still around from the Final Crisis days, we appreciate you. But I think we do have to get back to core values at some point, and we're going to have to start reading books again. What those are, I'm not sure. We're going to have to discuss that and compile a list and get a killer lineup for 2023. And you guys will hear them when you hear them. But yeah, I mean, well, thanks for listening to all of those and making those as popular as they were. But yeah, I mean, that seems to be the flavor. Some real DC fans over here at CBJ.
Absolutely. Well, I don't really have more to reflect as far as like comic book media goes. Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, you dabbled in it a little bit earlier. You want to talk about what nerd stuff you have watched? You already said you've done Batman Beyond. We could talk about anything nerd. It doesn't have to be a comic book. It could be anything. You've been going through a lot of the animated stuff. I've kind of been trying to get in there with you. I've mostly been working through Justice League animated series. It's kind of my my treadmill watch because, you know, when it's the best time to fit in an episode or two. So I've been working through that. And it's just hilarious how much Vandal Savage shows up between the end of season one and the beginning of season two. He's just everywhere, just fucking with him. So, you know, it just holds up. You know, I had to go down memory lane after you kind of got me hip to it again. And it really does hold up, even though this was a children's series. I mean, if you're kind of like a fundamentalist for superheroes, I mean, it kind of hits all the sweet spots. And then, I mean, the only other like nerdy related thing is, as it ties into my biggest keys, I've been watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, which I think you guys heard me talk about last year, but I'm like six seasons deep and they finally dropped the last batch of episodes. So once I finally finish these last handful, I don't think they know how to animate horses for the next part. So it might be a good long while before it gets adapted, if ever. So this will probably be the end of the road of me watching anime. But it's
sorry
just,
to
you
hear.
Know,
yeah,
no, it's perfectly fine. That's kind of how it should be. But it's been an adventure, and it's gotten weird watching that stuff. Just starting from the first episode even to where I'm at now, it makes no sense. But I mean, that's really all the nerd stuff I've really watched outside of the movie reviews or TV shows that you've heard about. You want to run down any nerd stuff you've been watching?
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Other than the stuff I already mentioned, like Batman Beyond, Justice League, Superman, no, I really haven't watched too many different nerd things, just a lot of the same stuff. And then just kind of did it from beginning to end as opposed to just random episodes. So that was kind of fun to revisit chronologically. I guess not so much nerd stuff, but media stuff in general. I didn't watch as much as I usually do. I'm kind of, I don't feel like I was hands-on or as involved this year. So these might be weak submissions, but some things I enjoyed this year that weren't comic book related. The new Top Gun movie, I watched that with my fiance while we were on vacation at a local theater. That was a lot of fun. I hate to put a blockbuster on my list, but the movie was better than I thought it would be. And I have a nice memory of that day in general. An honorable mention would be something I watched this year that didn't come out in 2022, but that's going to be the 80s version of the movie The Thing. One of Nicole's friends recommended we watch that, and we watched it around Halloween. I'm glad we did make time for it because it was really good, very classic in regards to like traditionalists for like sci-fi and horror. Kind of gave me The Fly vibes, but classic in a different way. My last shout out might be a little cliche, but my fiance and I were also pretty glued to the TV when that Jeffrey Dahmer Netflix series came out. It was kind of like this year's version of Tiger King in the sense that it was so over the top that it was hard to look away. So that was kind of fun to watch too.
Nice. And yeah, I mean, you're our resident like movie and TV guy. For whatever reason, I'm like the video game guy. It's hard for me to watch TV shows and get through them because we started Dahmer and we just didn't finish because I'm just bad at watching TV, to be real. But I have a couple non-nerd, you know, all media things too. So kind of in the same vein of you watching The Thing, I started going back into classic movies, and Jazz and I watched First Blood and Rambo for the first time. I hadn't seen them before. Obviously, I know the cultural phenomenon that is John Rambo, but you know, I hadn't actually watched a movie from start to finish, and those were actually sick. First Blood was better, but Rambo was also good. And then as far as like movies that did actually come out like this year, maybe last, I don't know, dude, time is a flat circle. The Northman, it's a Robert Eggers film. If you've seen The Lighthouse or The Witch, you would really like this. It was a really good film. I mean, it was something that Jazz wanted to see. She didn't even know that it was the same director across all three movies. She just like sees whatever he puts out and she's like, I want to see that. And so it turns out she has like a new favorite director, basically, subconsciously, I guess. But that was a really good movie if you haven't seen it. Worth the watch. I think it's on, if you have Amazon Prime or Prime Video, I think it's on there for free. So it's definitely worth a watch. It was one of the better films I've seen. The cinematography is cool. It's a Viking story. It was pretty badass. The gore and everything too, like the violence is pretty sick. So highly recommend that. And then outside of that, I don't really think I watched too much other stuff really in general this year that wasn't really comic book related. So yeah, I mean, that sounds like a pretty good summation of the year. We've kind of tackled it all. Pull list, keys, pickups, nerd stuff, non-nerd stuff, comic gifts, our episodes. I don't think there's anything more to say. How about you, Joe?
I'm all set.
Perfect. And with that, it goes without saying, but thank you, each and every one of you, for listening. We've seen, you know, more reviews and ratings pop up. We've heard encouraging words through our DMs and everything like that. We really appreciate hearing that. I mean, we're going to keep chugging along regardless, but that definitely puts a little bit of coal in the oven. So we're good. So the train's going to keep chugging. We're going to go strong into 2023. We're going to pump up those numbies with your guys' help. And then you're going to spread the word. You're going to rate and review if you have not yet already. And you're going to tell all your friends, anybody you can talk to at the store, in public, just bother people, don't care, unsolicited. Just tell them Comic Book Junkies. And if they say what, and then you get in their face and you say CBJ Pod. And then, you know, when you're done doing that, you know, you go over to CBJ Pod on Instagram. You like all of our pictures. You say you love us and all that. And we'll, you know, return the favor. And yeah, I mean, there's not much more to say. If you've been here before, you've heard the spiel 1,000 times. If you are new here, thanks for listening. Go through the backlogs and get ready for more to come. And yeah, hit us up on social. We'll work on more good books to read and review. We'll get more cool guests to talk about comics from their perspective. And we're going to just keep on going. That's 2022. Hell yeah, dude.
Get to know us. Thank you, guys.
Catch you later.